Hello and welcome into the latest edition of the Rebel Room. I'm Taylor Byrne alongside Ray Brewer and Case Kiefer, getting you ready for the regular season opener of the 2015-16 season. UNLV basketball is back. I know one person who is so excited. He might have a fever. How are you feeling over there, Ray?
I got running Rebel fever and it feels so fine. I got running Rebel fever burning up my mind. I don't need to see the doctor, stay in bed all day. All I gotta do is watch my Rebels play. See, for people, Taylor, who've been here our whole lives, we know that George Dare song performed at assemblies when we were in grade school. And yeah, George Dare would go around and he would sing it and everybody would go crazy. We'd be clapping.
Wait, so who is this guy?
He's a vocal guy that makes songs. I don't know. I mean, he's George Dare. Google Dare, like I dare you to Google George Dare.
I just did. Not a whole lot of info, but I'll take your word for it. He's famous for his voice in a jingle and McDonald's and Chevrolet commercials, most of all.
And also for Running Rebel Fever.
Exactly. I loved that. That was the best opening. I couldn't believe how far Brewer went with it, because usually when he sings songs, and even this song, it's like the one line and then he's done. But this time he just kept going, and I looked at you, and I think we were both amazed.
I knew the words. I rarely know the words.
I've been finding you just going the whole time, but I guess we will actually get into some talking points with this season. We'll touch on UNLV football, getting that victory against Hawaii. They head to Colorado State this weekend, but there's no need to pretend like that's the bigger story this week or the thing that we care more about. It's basketball. It is basketball season. It is time. And with this particular team, plenty of expectations, anticipation about what it's going to look like. We saw, you know, our first glimpse. They played the closed-door scrimmage at USC on Halloween. But the first time that the public was able to see what they had last Friday night, exhibition victory against Whittier. They won by 37. Dave Rice kind of took a long time after the game to come over to the press conference and immediately apologize, saying it was because he was, like, I don't know about yelling, but was getting on them for the turnovers and for defensive rebounding numbers, a couple of things that, you know, especially rebounding was a problem last year, and the turnovers is going to be, I think, more of a focal point just because of the style that they're trying to play, that it's going to happen. And you have to accept some of that, but that means that you have to be more diligent about keeping the overall numbers down. So he was just kind of harping on them for that, but honestly, a lot of that was in the second half once the game was already, you know, well decided. It was 20-25 points, and UNLV just took the foot off the pedal, reeled back, and they, you know, it was their own doing. I think a lot of it wasn't what Whittier, a tiny team. Guys barely over 6'4 for most of the roster from D3 were able to do against them. Zim had a double-double. Derek Jones, 20 points. Just a lot of, you know, Ike Nwamu came out firing right away, saw the potential for him to maybe be the team's leading scorer. Just a lot of different things to try and chew on. But, Ray, as we ramp up for Friday's home opener, 7 p.m., Cal Poly at the Thomas and Mack Center, What are you kind of focused on the most here with these? You know, they've got three games all at home before they head to the Maui Invitational with the first game November 23rd.
You know, I think this is where we've been told for 4 years now that the Rebels are going to be fast-paced and they're going to run and they're going to press. And we've been told that they just haven't had really the personnel to do that consistently or to do that at all. However, it's going to happen this year, and I just want to see how it looks. I'm curious to see if this team can go at that pace from minute one to minute 40 and how that changes the pace of the game. And listen, I've told you guys the last few weeks, I'm encouraged. I think they have good senior leadership in Seegers and
–
yes, I think they've got good key – players coming off the bench, players such as Carter, Cornish, even Derek Jones has looked phenomenal in the scrimmage. They've got the good recruit in Steven Zimmerman. McCall is solid and sturdy. You know, I worry who's going to be the guy who knocks down the three-pointer. I worry despite having a lot of bigs, Carter, Goodluck, Dwayne, who I still worry about numbers down under for some reason. Maybe I might be the only one.
Well, no, they don't have very many bigs, or certainly like few, if any, traditional bigs. Goodluck, Okanobu would be really the only one that's kind of a back-to-the-basket sort of guy, defensive, rim protector. You know, we saw Zim got four blocks against Whittier, but I'm not sure that that's going to be as big a part of his game going forward when it's, you know, standard issue Division I sized opponents. But the 3-point shooting, I think the general answer to that would be Cornish and Wamu. You know, that's what they're anticipating or hoping for. But the bigs is a concern because you have Zim, who I think a lot of times wants to face the basket, maybe be 15 feet and farther out. I'm going to be interested to see kind of where he positions himself a lot of times offensively. And then, you know, Ben Carter, kind of same thing. The first conversation I think I had with him last year when he came back to campus and even talking to his dad too, they wanted, you know, the three-pointer and just jump shooting to be more a part of his game. And while maybe that individually is what's best for him, I don't think that's what is best for the team. But those things tend to get kind of sorted out here. We'll see how it develops. And honestly, the more I've watched it, I think some of my concerns about guys like Zim and Carter being away from the basket a little more have been calmed by seeing Derrick Jones in action and just all the production he's going to be able to do just flying around the court without having to really draw things up for him. I think he's – when he committed – I didn't think he would have any type of real role.
Totally agree with everything you're saying.
But the more I've seen it, and obviously he's not going to score 20 points every game, and it was Whittier and all that, but that performance kind of backed up what I've been seeing in practice and sort of lends itself to think that you can see him having a pretty large role rebounding and scoring just from his athleticism, honestly, just by being able to go and get rebounds that – normally don't think a person should be able to go get.
Yeah, you guys know this. Basketball is... What are you laughing at?
Something totally unrelated that would also laugh at, I'll tell you off the show.
No, I'm about to make a point. Usually I speak and then you guys laugh at me, but no.
It had nothing to do with... Well, nothing really to do with you at all.
Okay, all right. Go Pistons, right? Okay, basketball is the little things. Sports are the little things. Football, it's blocking, tackling, turnovers. Basketball, turnovers. You know, is UNLV going to be able to protect the ball? Because when you go at a reckless pace, bad things can happen. It comes with the good and the bad. So, you know, I'm interested to see, and how do they take care of the ball? You know, and then, you know, how does this team play when they're behind? You know, is this team going to be able to find a way to win? Because we've seen it with UNLV football. You just don't become a winner because you have a coach who's a winner and you have a mentality as a winner. It takes a while to go from a losing program to a winning program. In the past 2 years, UNLV basketball hasn't done much winning.
Well, yeah, but I mean, a few things with that, I guess. In basketball, it's so much easier for one player to affect change and to just build things. And there's just not a lot of, other than the coaching staff, there's not a lot of similarities between last year and this year. Pat McCaw, a guy who like had seven different roles throughout the year last year, kind of comes in knowing what's expected of him. Cornish, kind of same thing. And then you have a bunch of new personnel around them for the most part. The coaching staff is the holdover, and I think that's where, you know, we've talked about this a few times, of just how a team as highly regarded in recruiting rankings and such can be picked fourth in the Mountain West. Well, it's because of production and actual, you know, results that we've seen, and the coaching staff being the same. That's why, you know, writers around the league are kind of hesitant to buy in right away. But it can change quickly. This isn't a program that's been like down in the dumps for a long time. They just don't win at the level that certain crazy people think they should. Unrealistic people.
But you feel better today after that exhibition game, even though it's an exhibition game, than you did at this time last week.
No. Exhibition.
Why do you lie to listeners?
Exhibition game doesn't change anything.
I feel
a little better about Jones, but it basically just backed up what I already thought.
But if it was against Dixie State.
Dixie State's a way better team.
Yeah, but still it's a lower classification team, an exhibition game, and they struggle to win.
Who struggled? The Dixie State game?
No, previous exhibition games.
Yeah, but Whittier's nothing. Like, as a team, no. You don't look like 37 points. Who cares about the score? I don't feel any different about UNLV other than, as I said, that little bit about Jones. Like, I'm more confident.
May I ask you a quick question?
Let's hear it.
Did you see the score of the Utah State exhibition game?
I did. They lost.
Did they lose?
Not that either. I feel the same about Utah State that I did before then.
Okay. Who did they lose to?
Don't know.
Well, come on. This is facts.
It's like Sun Valley State or something?
Sun Valley State.
Is that right?
I don't know.
Oh, no. I legit don't know.
Okay. Not a good team, though, right?
No.
Okay. Just double checking. Go ahead. You guys talk.
See, UNLV lost the exhibition game 2 years ago. Were you folding up the season at that point?
I'm just saying, look how the season turned out.
Yeah, I know one of those years. This is just a ridiculous conversation to begin with, but I know one of those years Louisville made the Final Four. They lost their exhibition game too.
Yeah,
so there's examples you can use both sides.
Iowa. Now the only one I can tell you, Iowa lost their exhibition game. That means they're going to be terrible. Every other exhibition, you can't take anything from. When Iowa loses, you know it means that they're awful. What, you want me to freak out over an exhibition loss?
No, he wants you to be happier for the exhibition win by UNLV. It's clearly what's going on here.
You're hard to impress, man.
What are you talking about? It's a D3 team that Case could start for.
No.
He can rebound. don't sell short the Pleasant Pheasant.
I'll put a body on Zim. I'm not scared.
All right, but if they run, what do you think the line's going to be in the Cal Poly game?
Fascinating question.
Thank you.
Because Cal Poly is decent. And so I do not know where this is going to go. KenPom's got it at 3.
Oh.
But as we've discussed before, KenPom's numbers really only kind of come into play about 8 to 10 games into the year because his computer system doesn't really have a good method of factoring in transfers and freshmen. And considering how much UNLV will be relying on those type of pieces, I don't think that you can really gauge on that. If it's double digits, I'm taking the points.
I was gonna say I don't know very much about Cal Poly just based on what you've said in a little bit, but I was gonna say it won't be double digits, right? Or am I totally off?
But yes, like right now, gun in my head, I guess I'd say like UNLV -7.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And I'll say this: maybe Taylor it'll take more than one game, but if they do blow out Cal Poly in the opener, I'll give it to you, Brewer. I'll say I'm impressed.
I'd be impressed by a blowout against Cal Poly. You know why? Because Cal Poly is a lot better than Whittier.
They're both from California. No. All I'm saying.
Neither of them say Yankees on the jersey, so that means they're not in the
game. All I know is that I sense that UNLV is going to make a statement in game one. I think they're going to win convincingly. My humble opinion.
Then we'll be impressed.
Yeah.
If the line is 3. I'll take that fake 1,000 that I was going to put on the over in the UNLV football, and I'll roll it all in.
The line is not going to be 3.
No. It'll be bigger than that.
Okay.
But I really don't know how much bigger. Like I think 7's as good a guess as anything else, but anything like 5 to 9 wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if it was less than 5. I'll say that.
Yeah.
All right.
Ray's chopping at the bit for another bet that he's not actually going
to
make.
I don't think we've really said anything that outrageous for Brewer to jump on us this week.
No, we're just not predicting the Sweet 16.
No. Listen, let's just get through the Cal Poly.
Like now I'm actually disappointed in Case and I because this started off so great, running real fever, and now Ray's just like all bummed.
And no, I'm excited for this season too. I don't know what Brewer's bummed about this year. I have a little bit of running rebel fever too. I feel like I'm probably like a lot of fans around the valley, maybe the more not the diehard fans that, you know, I had seen Zim. I really liked his game for many years. So I'm excited to see him. But I don't think I really realized what they may have had in Derek Jones, just a guy I didn't really know a lot about. And hearing you guys talk about him and what he did, even though it was against Whittier and, you know, reports from practice, I am excited to see what he brings. And he's going it's probably a lot different than I would have expected, not having much background with him.
Yeah, Jones will be fascinating. It's obviously going to be interesting to see how Zim transitions to the college game. He ended up with 4 turnovers, and so it was kind of part of the overall problem with regards to that. But Pat McCaw had a pretty solid game the other night. I was more looking for kind of individual plays, individual spots, and he had like a back-to-back where he's going for a loose ball down the court, could have called a timeout, but kind of just like took his time with it, dumped it off to Cornish for a layup, and as he got up to get into the press, like had to put his headband back on and was the double at the back of the trap, came over, got a steal, and got a hockey assist where he gave it to Poyser, and Poyser passed it on to somebody else. But just seeing little plays like that kind of back up my confidence in McCaw entering this season. I think at the end of last season, I did not expect a whole lot this year from Jordan Cornish, and just the more I've seen, the more I've liked, and so I do think he's going to have a chance to have a big role here, a bigger one than certainly I anticipated. Not sure yet what to expect from Dwayne Morgan, but looks like Ray would like to weigh in on one Jordan Cornish.
I've told you guys he's impressed me. I said he would be I labeled him as like the most improved player or something, and I was considered crazy, but I like his game.
I don't remember the improved player thing, but that's
I called him something. I called him something.
I believe you. I don't remember which of you brought it up, but that is a I guess I am interested, too, in seeing how they handle the shooting. And is he really going to be the guy from three-point range? And am I crazy? I don't have the numbers in front of me. I haven't looked, but isn't McCaw can shoot from range, too, right? I mean, I don't think he was mentioned when we were talking about who's going to fill that role. He's gonna do a little bit from there this season, too, right?
Now, Cornish has production that's not going to be matched. He's got a chip on his shoulder because our buddy Mike Romala just – like offhandedly in some offseason story mentioned that Cornish isn't going to top his 47.9% three-point shooting. And Cornish took that as like a personal affront. I talked to him a couple times about it too, yeah.
47.9%?
He's just like, yeah, that guy thinks I can't do it. It's like, I think you can't do it. But I mean, wow. That doesn't mean you're not a good player. That means that was nuts. But he was 34 of 71. So as his attempts go up, he's not going to maintain that pace, but it's going to be interesting to see where it is at. Pat McCaw shot 37.7%, and that was in 151 attempts, so more than double the attempts there. He actually led the team in three-point attempts last year. Rashad Vaughn was hitting 38% on 141. So, yeah, Vaughn and McCaw were actually almost identical from beyond three-point.
Yeah, but Vaughn didn't play the last 11 games, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so McCaw's were more spread out, but that was when McCaw's scoring went up, because when Vaughn was out there, he wasn't taking nearly as many shots.
I do worry sophomore slump with McCaw. He was just such a pleasant surprise last year. Does he continue with this year? I know he's caught your eye. He's on the – you like him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've had, like, the man crush on McCaw.
I didn't know if the public knew that, but yes.
I think so. I feel like it's been brought up in enough circumstances that is a known thing for anyone who follows along with us. But the reason I'm not concerned about that, because that is sort of what I expected from Cornish, and I'm not as sure on that now, but the reason I didn't expect that from McCaw is that he just does so many different things that, yeah, maybe the scoring – isn't going to be there in the same way. Maybe his three-point shooting falls off. Still going to be one of their best defenders. He's still going to be a good assist guy moving the ball. He's gotten better at breaking down guys one-on-one. So I just feel like he has a good enough overall game, and it's even kind of added pieces to that, that if one or two of the things aren't there, he's still going to be a big contributing guy. And that's, you know, his versatility is also another reason I'm a big fan, is because I think that's going to help him stay on the court, just being able to play so many different. Should we talk some football a little bit? UNLV take care of business as a 9.5-point favorite at home against Hawaii. Really ugly first half. Ended up being more back and forth in the second half, and UNLV eventually pulls away kind of early fourth quarter and tacks them on. The running game, solid the whole game. Keith Whiteley, first career 100-yard rushing game. I was kind of surprised by that. Just figured he had done it at some point. Lexington Thomas also eclipsed 100 yards, second time that UNLV has had multiple 100-yard rushers this year. The other one was Idaho State, so that barely counts. But this one, you know, nice, taking care of business. Hawaii's a bad team, changed the coach, can't drop a game like this, and, you know, UNLV did what it needed to do.
All I do was win, win.
I think that's probably the wrong song for a 3-16, but, you know.
No, the bet, the over the bet.
Oh, that's true. I'm just glad we got a representation of what I was saying earlier of how you usually sing. It's like six words and out.
Yeah. No, you know, I think the one quote from Sanchez after the game that, yeah, three is important because it shows that we are making improvements.
Yeah, 8 of the last 11 years have been 2-win seasons. So, for and he was just kind of pointing to, what for whatever reason, getting that third one has always been sort of a hurdle that UNLV has not been able to clear. So while this isn't like some cause for huge celebration, it is something.
Yeah, and you look at the rest of the schedule, CSU Saturday, Wyoming, San Diego State left, and not in that order though. So you got three games left. Probably going to go, you got a chance to go 1-2, right?
I know if you're just sitting here today, 1-2 seems like what it's going to be.
Yeah, so a 4-win season, probably not what Sanchez wanted, especially considering San Jose State and Fresno were winnable. Shoot, even Northern Illinois might have been winnable. But I think you put that in your back pocket considering the quarterback play and smile.
Yeah, it's a success to me. I mean, I think if you would have told me that this is the way the season plays out, and really you could make the argument that they should have at least won one of those other games. So with all the close losses they had, I think they may have been on the wrong side of some variance. I think it's been a successful year, although, like you said, not exactly what Tony Sanchez want, but I think this puts the program in a good light moving forward, and I think they're going to be even better next year.
Do you guys give them any chance Saturday? I haven't seen the numbers yet. I'll look that up here. But Colorado State, you know, okay team. I had higher aspirations for them coming into the year, and it's been kind of a letdown there in the first year for Coach Bobo. But they're, you know, heading on the road, I think anytime you expect UNLV to lose most of those. But you guys give them any shots to keep the bowl eligibility alive?
I do give them a little bit of a shot. I think I'd obviously pick Colorado State straight up. I just looked. I didn't look either. Colorado State's a 7.5-point favorite. I've been a little disappointed with this team, too. I love Mike Bobo. I'm a Georgia fan, and obviously he's been a great recruiter. I think did great things at Georgia. But I just feel like this has been one of those cases where a new coach comes in and doesn't really mesh with what they have there. Like, I think he's trying – when I've watched them a little bit this year, as I've had action on a few of their games. He's like really trying to go with the pro offense type thing, pro style offense, and bring in a lot of what he's doing at Georgia. It just doesn't feel like they have the personnel for that right now. So maybe it's another place that'll be going upwards in the future. But I don't think too highly of Colorado State right now. So I would not be surprised at all if UNLV went in there and kept it close. Then again, I would not be surprised if they went in there and lost by double digits either.
Yeah.
I mean, this win to me means that they could possibly be bowl eligible because then they go to Wyoming, who's got one win.
Well, San Diego State at home first.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, I mean, that makes the San Diego State game a lot more interesting because you have something to play for. I mean, it's that simple. I mean, and that's why I think the number is where it's at because, you know, he's coming off a win. They still think they could win out. So we'll see what happens. You know, they'd be in a rough spot if they lost on Saturday for their next game.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of that San Diego State game sitting here right now, because you have, you know, whatever quote revenge factor there is from Houck, I think is pretty minimal, because you're talking about special teams. Maybe they pull out some special fakes or something. That would be interesting. But if UNLV, especially if it's a blowout loss to Colorado State, I'm just not sure how they're going to react, and I think it could end up then getting ugly and end up with a 3-win season if this game gets away from them. But I'm not sure that it will. I actually, right now, I think I would pick them to keep it close.
Yeah, I mean, cover your ears, Brewer, but it's just tough because San Diego State has been so good the last month or so. It's just, I don't know where it's come from. I don't think this team is that good, and maybe you can, so if you just look at it on paper from that, it's like, all right, UNLV doesn't really have a chance against this team. They're going to beat them. Maybe you flip it around, though, and say, they can't keep this up. They can't keep up playing as well as they are. It's going to regress a little bit towards the middle, and if that happens against UNLV, maybe this is a good spot. It's just, that's a tough game to handicap, I think.
How you feeling about our -10?
You got 10, minus 10.
I've got the Aztecs laying 10.
Well, I know when the game starts, you'll be owing me a lunch. Now, when the game ends, it might be different.
No, I mean, I think that's really fair, actually. I don't remember this bet. Was I involved in it?
I think you were around because we did it on one of the podcasts, I'm pretty sure. But it was like a month and a half ago.
Did I get in on it?
No.
Okay. Well, I think it's really fair. I think you guys did a good job setting that number. Am I wrong?
I mean, I thought I was getting the good end of it when I made it, but
for a couple of weeks there, it did look like Ray got a hell of a deal, but it ended up being okay. Hey, Rocky's teams get better. You gotta give them credit for that. We will see how Sanchez teams do down the road. Still a chance. I think if they get to 4 wins, no matter how you want to look at how they came and the disappointment of a couple of the losses, I think 4 wins is a successful season here in year one. And I'm interested to see how this game goes because Colorado State, not an impossible task, but certainly an uphill battle for UNLV. But before that, the night before, Friday night, regular season opener against Cal Poly, UNLV basketball is back. We will see you there at the MAC. For Case, for Ray, I am Taylor. We'll talk to you guys next week. When the ball says start, when the ball